We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
7 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard here on this Friday night. We'll get back to all your phone calls here coming up in just a few minutes. We'll talk to my buddy Cody Decker, big Raiders fan, big baseball guy, at 8 o'clock tonight. Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, coming up at 9 on NFL Week 7. We'll have my NFL picks, guess the takes, my favorite props for the Eagles game, all coming up later in the show. Right now, though, let's get to a little Trust the Pregame, delivered to you by PGW. PGW delivering safe, reliable energy to Philadelphia for more than 180 years. PGW energy for all of us. Visit pgworks.com for details. Sixers, Nets tonight down at the Wells Fargo Center, the home opener. The current line on the game is Brooklyn favored by 2.5 points against the Sixers. It's an interesting number considering we know no Ben Simmons, and that's going to probably stay that way for a while. We also don't know about Joel Embiid. So Joel Embiid, is this the most under the radar in Embiid knee issue, injury issues ever flown? Like, it's just totally not being talked about because, well, all the Ben Simmons stuff. But Embiid went on the injury report yesterday, questionable with a right knee soreness. That's the same knee that he had the meniscus tear in during the playoffs. And it sounded like, Tucker, that Docker was basically saying he's not sure and we're about half hour from tip.
Yeah, he said during his pregame media availability that I think the exact quote was he was 50-50 on whether or not he would play tonight. And it's scary because not only is it the knee that he had an issue with in the playoffs a year ago when he tore his meniscus, but seemed to re-injure it. I think about 5 minutes into the game on Wednesday night, he kind of took a weird, awkward fall. And you watch the rest of the game, he performed well. He had 22 points, but he also only had to play 28 minutes and kind of didn't look himself for most of the game.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why this is being pushed in game number two. I know it's a high-profile game, and Joel Embiid loves to play in these. I feel like Joel Embiid never misses a Friday night ESPN game for the Sixers. Like, this is some of the most high-profile games they play in during the regular season. I remember a couple, was it 4 years ago, 5 years ago now? The Friday night game was when he hurt himself, right? One of them was Portland, one of them was the Rockets on a Friday night. They were both Friday night games.
Yeah, he originally got hurt against Portland, and then he came back against Houston because it was a nationally televised game.
On a Friday night. Like, right. these are big games. And I understand it's a big game tonight, but if his knee's sore and it's the second game of the season, is this worth it? I mean, I don't know. By the way, so we'll give you, during this next half hour, we will tell you when we find out if Joel Embiid is in the starting lineup tonight for the Sixers. But I saw this from our buddy Boop, Bob Petrone Jr., Boop Stats. Joel Embiid, number of consecutive games played from the start of each season before missing one. So how many games into a season before he missed his first? Obviously, he missed his first 2 years, so that's zero in those 2 years. He missed the fourth game played in the 2016-17 season, so he played three consecutive there. He missed the third game in the 2018-19 season, so that was two. Then he made it all the way through 26 games the following year. The last 2 years, one and then two. So other than one time, he's never made it more than the first three games of the year before having to sit out one. That's been Joel Embiid, and it sounds like we might be trending there with the Sixers' big man. So we don't know about Embiid right now. We know no Ben Simmons. And, of course, the matchup itself, this is not going to be an easy one. Let's just call it for what it is. The Nets are really good. The Nets are coming off a loss. They opened the season in Milwaukee. They got blown out in that game. They really weren't very competitive against Milwaukee in their home opener, their ring ceremony. I do not love the idea of playing the Nets off of that loss. Meanwhile, the Sixers are off of their win against the Pelicans, so it's a gigantic step up in competition. And I'm curious tonight how Doc Rivers tries to guard the two Nets killers, right? Like, how are they, without Ben Simmons, without their perimeter defender that can guard or at least try to slow down, you know, a Kevin Durant or a James Harden, how do they go about covering these guys tonight? So Matisse Thybulle, I'd imagine, is going to see more minutes, and I would think he could do a pretty decent job out there against one of these two, probably more on Harden than Durant, but I'm not sure what the plan's going to be to guard those guys. Maybe they'll throw some Danny Green on them, but that's a lot to ask. I mean, quite frankly, no one in the league could guard Kevin Durant, but specifically no one on this version of the Sixers can guard Kevin Durant.
Especially no one in the starting lineup.
Right.
Right. Like you think about the starting lineup, and we talked about it on Wednesday night before the Pelicans game, who's going to guard Brandon Ingram. And Brandon Ingram didn't have a great game. He was 12 of 26 from the field. But pretty much Danny Green was on him most of the time when the starting lineup was in there, mm-hmm. and that was it. But if Danny Green is covering Kevin Durant, who's covering James Harden? Right. This is a team with multiple lethal perimeter threats. They don't even have one of them because Kyrie Irving is currently sitting at home. I imagine Matisse Thybulle has to get a lot more minutes. I mean, this is an issue that this team's going to face without Ben Simmons, is they're pretty much starting three undersized players in the backcourt at the moment. And when you go against these teams with multiple perimeter scoring options, you just don't match up well.
No. The total in this game is about around 230 and a half last time I saw. It's a big number. I mean, these are two teams that could score. The one thing to take off of the game against the Pelicans in a positive way, I felt like the Sixers were getting a lot of three-point looks on was it Wednesday night against the Pelicans? A lot of three-point looks. And it felt like they were – like there's positives, there's negatives to no Ben being part of this team right now. The negative is obviously his defense and his playmaking ability and the good things he does bring to the table. The good thing is, though, it legitimately spaces the floor. Like, you felt like it was Joel Embiid and it was floor spacing around him, which has always been, I mean, kind of the ideal of what you want around a player like Joel Embiid. They had more of that. Like, they were – and guys were just shooting threes. Like it almost just looked like normal basketball, like the normal, regular, other teams kind of NBA basketball that we've gotten used to the last 5, 6, 7 years in the league. That's what the Sixers looked like the other night. So we'll see if they could keep that up. Now, the good thing in terms of their chance to win tonight, I mean, the Nets don't play much defense either. I mean, that's they're there to outscore teams, and they gave up like 118 points a game last year. So the Sixers should have some good looks. And the Nets don't really have an answer for Joel Embiid if he does play tonight. That's, you know, we kind of talked through that last year when we were wondering about what a playoff series with these two teams could have looked like. We never got there. The Sixers lost to the Hawks. The Nets lost to the Bucks. That make-believe Eastern Conference Finals that we envisioned never even actually came that close to happening because neither team made the Conference Finals. But we talked through this a lot last year. Like, all right, the Sixers don't really have an answer for their offense, but the Nets don't have an answer for Joel Embiid. So I imagine if he can gut it out tonight and play, if he's going to be out there, that he would have himself a pretty good game. 215-592-9494. We'll get to the phones here in a second. You want to hop in during our Trust the Pregame and talk some Sixers. But let's let you hear the latest from Shams Charania of...
Joel Embiid will play tonight.
All right. Embiid in, which was kind of alluded to. I guess it was some of the reporters down there were saying he was on the court with no knee brace or knee wrap. So... he's going to be in tonight, and Embiid is playing despite having knee soreness. So let's give you the latest. This is Shams earlier today about what happened when Ben Simmons showed up and addressed the team today.
Sources tell me Ben Simmons addressed Doc Rivers, Joel Embiid, and the entire 76ers team today inside the locker room after film session at Shoot Around. And he informed them that he is not mentally ready yet to play, and he needs time. When Joel Embiid, in the meeting, I'm told, asked Ben Simmons about why he wants a trade, Simmons responded that mentally he is just not feeling like himself right now and needs to take some time away. I'm told that was met with no response back, and there were other team leaders such as Tobias Harris who then publicly and privately supported Ben Simmons and let him know that he can take time away and get right mentally. So after being kicked out of practice and being suspended for one game, Simmons will now miss Friday's home opener against the Brooklyn Nets, and it's unclear how long he will need to get his mind right. But in the meantime, I'm told Simmons will seek professional help to make sure that he's able to get back on track and get back on the floor after he did express to teammates that he wants to play, but he wants to get right mentally before he's able to do so. It's believed the Sixers support Simmons as he goes and seeks professional help, but this message was relayed to the organization months ago that Simmons was not mentally ready yet to return to Philadelphia under the current conditions. That came after Rivers and Embiid made critical comments about Simmons after that Game 7 loss against Atlanta and the event that transpired several months afterwards.
So there's a lot to unpack there from Shams. A couple things that stood out to me, and they're part of what to watch for here. Sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity, the fastest internet in Philadelphia, and the sponsor of Xfinity X1 Lounge. So there was a lot there from Shams in his report. A couple things. How about Joel Embiid asking Ben Simmons why he wants to be traded today in the set, you know, the context of like a team meeting? And Ben's response was, he's not mentally ready to play. It's not really an answer to the question. Okay, that's number one. Number two, did you notice there at the end that Shams reports that the Sixers were made aware of Ben Simmons not being mentally ready to play here prior to today? He did apparently tell them that during the summer at one point. My other favorite thing in there is that Simmons is not mentally ready to play here under the current conditions. What does that mean? What does that mean, the current conditions in Philadelphia? Does he want Doc Rivers fired? Does he want Joel Embiid traded? Like, what are the current conditions? You know what my read on all that is? He wants to be traded, and that's it. Like, he just doesn't want to be here, doesn't want to play here, and that's it. And we're just going to continue to dance until everyone gets what they want. And I I've been very clear about this for the whole week. I don't think the Sixers are going to get their star player back for him or a star player back for him. So someone's going to have to blink. And I don't even know if it's in the Sixers' best interest if it's Ben Simmons that blinks. Because if he plays and he's not into it and he doesn't play as well as he can, that's not really helping the team. It's not increasing his trade value. This just stinks. I mean, the whole thing stinks. And now my feeling is he's probably going to be away for a while. This is probably the route where we don't see him for a while. They don't keep bringing him in every other day for a workout or whatever, or a walkthrough or him standing around in sweatpants during practice. This is probably the way that he stays away until who knows. I mean, I saw Adrian Wojnarowski today because, you know, it was out there yesterday. Daryl Morey had put out the idea that this could go all 4 years. He would hold on to Ben Simmons for 4 years, which is the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard. There's no way he sits on Ben Simmons for 4 years. But Woj did put out today that maybe not 4 years, but this could go on all year. That didn't seem as crazy to me. Tucker, what'd you think about that? Woj's report. Now, I said last night the 4 years thing is baloney. There's no way. 1 year, though, I feel like Daryl Morey and Rich Paul just may be stubborn enough to look each other in the eye and say, you blink. No, you blink. And we actually do this for a full season.
And it wouldn't be unprecedented, right? I mean, Kawhi Leonard did it when he was in San Antonio the last year. It wouldn't be as crazy as 4 years. I guess, statistically speaking, it's 25% as crazy as sitting around for 4 years. I think that math checks out. But I could 100% see that happening. Like we talked about last night, for them to make a move, for Daryl Morey to finally become swayed, to make this move, something's going to have to change. Something's going to be drastic. And kind of look around the league right now, like, you don't have a dance partner,
mm-mm,
right? Like, not only is no one willing to really go after and acquire Ben Simmons, but no one's really interested in making a trade 1 game into the season, 2 games into the season.
No.
Right? Like, I think the idea that this is going to come down within a week or even 2 weeks, I think, is a little silly. It would feel a little rushed. So I think that next date of December 15th, when recently acquired players become eligible for trades, is certainly an option. I think the trade deadline, when that comes, whenever that is, late January, early February, that's an option. And if those two dates pass and nothing happens, we're going to have the same exact conversation come draft night next July.
Well, you're right. I mean, it's really not a full year. It's how many months is between now and February? Four? Does that math check out? I think so. 4 months?
Yes.
4 or 5 months, right? Like, that's actually the timeline here. It's the next 5 months to facilitate a trade. If not, yes, what Tucker just said is absolutely true. This will drag into next offseason. It's almost like the Deshaun Watson thing of the NFL. I'm not trying to compare Ben and Deshaun Watson. That's not what I'm saying. But it's similar to the effect of Deshaun Watson, if he doesn't get traded by November 2nd, that's the NFL trade deadline, he will not get traded until the NFL offseason. With Ben Simmons, it's the same thing, right? Forget full year. This is just 5 months. They have 5 months between now and whenever the trade deadline is in the NBA late next winter to figure this out. And if he doesn't get moved by then, he's not getting moved till next offseason. 215-592-9494. Andrew's in media on Trust the Pregame. What's up, Andrew?
Hello, how are you doing? Good evening.
Good, Andrew. What's on your mind, bud?
Well, not too much. Yeah, honey, I'm talking in the radio. My daughter wants to know. Anyway, as a health professional, I need to say this. I've been listening. This is about Ben. I've been listening, obviously, for many days now, talking about this mental issue.
Mm-hmm.
As a health professional, this is key. A couple things. Number one, he shows classic signs of someone with mental illness. Now, I'll tell you why. Mental illness can come in forms of very low self-esteem, lack of confidence, and all around kind of lack of emotion. You know, I've watched Ben over the years. I've really very rarely seen him smile. Just some of the early signs. When you talk about shooting a basketball, there's people who have no, if they miss once, they're going to shoot again. That means their confidence is pretty high. Ben shoots, thinks he's going to get booed, never shoots again. These are some clear signs of a very low self-esteem and confidence. He has all the God-given talents, his height, stature, body, whatever. The mind dictates everything. I heard somebody yesterday saying, well, yeah, I deal with a little anxiety. Listen, there's no such thing as a little. There's no such thing as being a little bit pregnant. You have it or you don't. And I do believe. Now, my big point is, because I don't want to go on that too much. My big point is, I'm really shocked as a medical professional. I'm really shocked that the Sixers, so we all watch Jurassic Park. What do they call the dinosaurs? They call them assets.
Right.
If Ben is my asset and my investment, why are we so quick to divorce him? And yeah, you go get help on your own. He's my asset. I'm really shocked. If I work for Boeing and I might have some mental illness issues, there are employee assistance programs all day long. Why are not this? And by the way, someone like Doc Rivers or anyone else who doesn't even understand a little bit of it, be very sensitive, because often in life we pass these things by. Potentially the person hurts themselves. Oh, I never knew. Oh my gosh. Be very sensitive. This is a human being, aside from everything else, doesn't matter about millions of dollars. You know, he's struggling. And when he says, I'm not mentally ready, somebody said earlier, oh, he didn't prepare his body mentally. No, he is not mentally ready. He cannot take criticism. It's okay. A lot of people can. He's not mentally stable. And I'd be very concerned. So if I'm the Sixers, why are not an employee assistance support? Do they have that? Maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. Yeah, I mean, these guys, like you said, asset, right? Like these guys are making $30 million a year. They are the keys to their business. I mean, really. I mean, Embiid and Simmons and their best players, they're their keys to having their business. I mean, like, right? That's what people come to watch. Yeah. So, yes, I'm sure they do. But, Andrew, while I have you, I just want to ask you a question. And I'm being sincere in this question. And I'm not trying to undermine what you're saying, because you come at it from a perspective that I can't understand, and you're a professional. Does any part of you wonder, though, and you're not his doctor, you're just observing as a fan and listening, and you have a background, but does any part of you wonder the pattern of behavior that led to what he said to the team today? Like, it started with, I want to be traded. I don't want to be there. Reports that he'll do anything to get out. Then 2 days ago, his back hurt. He was insubordinate practice. And then the next step is, you know, mentally ready. And I mean, a part of me looks, and the CBA says that they can't take his money away if this is his issue, rather than he just doesn't show up. Like, does any part of you suspicious at how the pattern has played out?
No, because it's very characteristic.
Okay.
You can go with mental illness for years, and when you start talking about it is when it's really coming out. I think he's honestly, many people are criticizing him, but if you really, what I want to say quickly, because I know it's time, is he's asking for help. He doesn't know how to do it. He's probably had these issues most of his life. By the way, I've treated athletes, musicians, actors, creative people. There's a pretty high percentage of those who have always been kind of by themselves in their own little world. They deal with some of the highest potential of mental illness. They have it hard to make friends and all those types of things. So I do think what Ben's doing right now, I think it's a good, healthy thing for him, because he's probably been hiding this for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's about being traded, because let's be honest, most people will run when somebody says, I'm not mentally ready. Sadly.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You know, what I do believe is that what he's doing is asking for help, and those, I think Tobias did a great thing. He sounds like someone who kind of gets it. For Embiid to say, why do you want to be traded? That's not the problem. Money's not the issue. Playing basketball is not the issue. He has a potential. I haven't met with him. He has a problem. He's saying, I'm not mentally ready. Mentally means, you know what Ben's worried about? You all know this better than I. It's your living. He does not want to be booed.
Of course, He doesn't want to fail. Yeah, right. He's afraid to fail. And Andrew, listen, I appreciate your perspective. I appreciate your phone call. Yeah, I mean, I think at some point we all realize that he's afraid to fail. I mean, and I don't think he's the first athlete that's afraid to fail. In fact, I actually think it's, in a weird way, or a unique way, it's a characteristic of some of the best athletes. Now, Ben, it's gone the opposite way. It's actually, whatever this is impacted the guy's career. But like, I think Tom Brady, guys like that they fear failure more than they enjoy the winning. I believe that. I think guys like Barry Bonds, why'd they cheat? He was going to the Hall of Fame anyway. He was upset and afraid he wasn't being noticed. Like there is that insecurity factor with great athletes. I mean, I think that's I don't have to be a doctor to realize that. I think we see that all the time.
Yeah, I mean, most athletes kind of flourish, right? Like Tony Gwynn used to not be able to sleep because he was afraid he'd wake up and forget how to hit.
It seems crazy, right?
Right, like probably the greatest hitter or one of the greatest hitters as far as just bat control is considered, but Ben Simmons has kind of done the opposite, right? Instead of flourishing, instead of taking that fear and using it, he's kind of wilted. And what the last caller brought up kind of makes sense. Like, if I told you 3 months ago, before all the you know nonsense the last couple weeks came out, and Ben Simmons said, hey, I'm having issues with mental illness, or I'm not mentally ready, wouldn't it be kind of obvious, mm-hmm. right? Like, think about the issues he's had dealing with free throws, dealing with, you know, not being able to shoot, wilting it in the fourth quarter of big games, not showing up in the playoffs. I mean, it's kind of consistent with his play on the court, is it not?
It is. And I would say that I think 99% of this fan base would be extremely supportive of Ben Simmons right now if this came out. And I'm not saying it's his fault for when it comes out, right? People admit things at different times. If it came out right after the playoffs and there was never a trade request. I mean, like, I'd be insincere if I said to you, I haven't thought about the pattern of how we've gotten here and the timeline, and it's just something feels off. Not that he's making this up, but something feels off. I mean, I read to you earlier because I think it is worth noting, and it's interesting just to follow the pattern of how we got here. Like, 2 days ago, his back hurt, and then the doctor said, well, your back seems like it's fine, and they cleared him for practice. There's been reports he'll do anything to get out of here. He was insubordinate at practice, right? Like he's acted out the last couple days here in Philadelphia. So this is from ESPN today. The Sixers have been fining Simmons for missing games, practices, and meetings, nearing $2 million this season. But there is a provision in the collective bargaining agreement that protects players' salaries for failing to render services, quote, if such failure has been caused by the player's mental disability. I don't know where this is going. I can't pretend to be in Ben Simmons' head, but I mean, it certainly does seem like this is leading towards where Ben can keep his trade request, is not going to play, and the Sixers are not going to be able to find him. Those seem like facts of where we're going right now. Let's talk to Mark, who's in Woodbury Heights. Hey, Mark.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Mark.
Here's the deal with Ben Simmons, and I am not a psychologist. So, but I am going to say something about anxiety and mental illness in people that you talk to. Do these conditions occur because they can be self-induced, or are they always there? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the answer.
Right. There's a debate on that. There really is a debate. Can mental illness, anxiety, depression, etc., is it sometimes... does it come about because of one's actions, or is it there and it's a chemical makeup? I don't know the answer to that. But what I do know in the case of this gentleman is for 4 or 5 years with this basketball team, he's not held himself accountable, okay? He has been very prideful and not very humble. And now the crap has hit the fan. And obviously he's anxious because he's going to have to walk out in front of 20,000 people and they're going to crucify him. And why is that? Because of the environment he created. He created all this.
He did. He's demanding a trade and he's not getting what he wants. And now the reality might hit that he might not get what he wants for maybe a year or whatever.
Yes, but this goes back to the second year, third year in his organization when he's asked about shooting the basketball and he's nonchalant about it.
Mm-hmm.
The cockiness, the arrogance. Now he's feeling, you know, he's feeling the pain of his past actions. and he's petrified. He's anxious, whatever you want to call it. Listen, I am in no position to judge this man, okay? But based on his actions, he has created this negative situation that he's right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I mean, him and his agent they're conducting an almost like an orchestrated ploy. I mean, that's what the whole thing feels like.
No question about it. And you're right, Joe. The Philadelphia fans, they'll bend over backwards for you. Look at Lane Johnson.
Yep.
And Brooks, you know,
totally.
For the
Eagles. Yeah, for as much crap, Mark, that Philadelphia fans get, if a player shows that he's vulnerable but has given his all and always gives his all, this town is very, very supportive. Very.
Absolutely. And you don't think this discussion's going on in the Simmons camp? I mean, I just think we would be somewhat naive not to think that. You know what I mean?
Of course it is. I mean, Rich Paul, for as much as he's done bad in the NBA, there's a reason why all these players want him as his agent. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, and I hope, I hope they're not taking this illness that a lot of people struggle with, and they're using it as a ploy to get paid, to save one's soul, to increase empathy for this guy, to increase the crowd, not to destroy him when he actually steps on the floor because he has a mental illness. I just hope they're not using this for their own benefit.
Mark, I hope so too. And we always appreciate the phone call. And we can never prove if they are. Never. I don't know. I don't know. All I can do is follow the pattern. Follow the pattern of like the money, the losses, the fines. Remember when he showed up at halftime of the preseason game or whatever it was? Because then he would actually be there for that game and not get fined. Like it's all there. Very difficult to ignore. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. Trust the pregame delivered to you by PGW. PGW delivering safe, reliable energy to Philadelphia for more than 180 years. PGW energy for all of us. Visit pgworks.com for details. We'll come back. All your phone calls. Have you thrown the towel in on the 2021 Eagles becoming a good football team? I haven't. I still think they could become one. And I'm not ruling out them competing for playoffs, but it starts with a win on Sunday over the Raiders. Tucker's thrown the towel in. I haven't. We'll discuss. And a change to the lineup on Sunday. Not everyone around here thinks it's a good thing for the Eagles. We'll hit that next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94, WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Let's hop aboard on this Friday night. Coming up as the show goes on, 8 o'clock, my buddy Cody Decker, who is part of the Big Time Baseball Podcast and Odyssey MLB podcaster. Great. He's great. Great on baseball. We'll talk to him about the LCSs that are winding down. And can you believe the Braves are one win from the World Series? The Braves. So the Phillies thought they could go beat that last week of the season to get the division title. The Braves. So talk to Cody. He's also a gigantic Raiders fan, but he kind of hates the Raiders. So I think it'll be fun talking about the game on Sunday and what he thinks. Later on the show, Steve Fezzik, pregame.com on week 7 in the NFL. My picks, guess the takes, and best props, best FanDuel Sportsbook props for the Eagles-Raiders game coming up on Sunday. So that's all to come. And we're going to go back to the phone lines in a second here, talking about the Eagles and whether or not this, you're throwing the towel in already at 2-4. I haven't. I don't think this season is over. I mean, part of it is I think I've been more optimistic than most on what this team could turn out to be. And I'm not letting 6 weeks change my mind. I'm, I think 2-4 was a pretty realistic expectation, regardless of where you thought this team could go before the season. I think there's a lot of reasons for optimism. I think they're going to beat the Raiders on Sunday. I haven't thrown the towel in yet. Have you? 215-592-9494. Now, one reason for optimism on Sunday is the Eagles get healthier. They get their offensive line a little bit more intact. Lane Johnson coming back. And Nick Sirianni said today he's going to start on Sunday. It means Jordan Mailata moves to left tackle. So you get Lane Johnson back, Mailata back to left tackle, Andre Diller back to the bench. Seems like a no-brainer. Seems like the easy move, the best move for everyone involved. Everyone seems happy except somebody over here, Tucker. All right, so listen. Lane's back. We knew he was going to play, but you don't think it's the greatest move for the franchise long-term.
Yeah, and I understand that Lane Johnson means a lot to the Eagles. He's a fan favorite. He's been here 9 years now, right? This will be his ninth year with the Eagles.
2013, yeah.
He's been here since day one. He started at right tackle since day one, despite being drafted as the left tackle of the future. He's pretty much taken over the right tackle spot and held it down for almost a decade now. But I don't know if moving him back into the starting lineup makes sense. And I understand he left because of a mental illness and everything. And obviously we are sensitive to that. And you know, I'm glad he's feeling better. I'm glad he's feeling good to play. But guess what? Jordan Mailata's played pretty well at right tackle. Andre Dillard's played really well at left tackle. And this is a team that, even though some people think that they can make the postseason, they're able to compete this year. Not only are these tackles both playing just as well as Lane Johnson did this season, but are also like 7 years younger. And if you're a team like the Eagles, who you spent a lot of money on Jordan Mailata a couple months ago, Andre Dillard you spent a first-round pick on, they're both working out. Like, I just don't understand why you would be so quick to move them out of the starting lineup, send Andre Dillard back to the bench when you could conceivably look towards the future. At the end of the season, when you ask Howie Roseman, hey, man, why are you optimistic about this team's future? He may not be able to say Nick Sirianni. He may not be able to say Jalen Hurts. He may not be able to say this defense, this defensive line. But if he said, hey, we have two tackles who right now project to be Pro Bowlers, who are both under the age of 26 and played really well all season and protected our quarterback and can either protect this quarterback or a quarterback that we draft in April, why wouldn't you keep that together?
So, well, two things. The two things I thought of as you said that. One, I don't think your premise is crazy, but what are you going to do with Lane? Like, he's just going to sit there and rot now?
I would trade him.
Okay, well, that's a possibility. But it's funny because we're talking about the Ben thing. There's some bad optics at play here if they sat Lane Johnson down this week, isn't there? Right, he goes away for a couple weeks because he has a personal issue, comes back, he's lost his starting spot. I don't think they could do it even if they wanted to. Here's what's probably going to happen. Let's be real about this. They're going to have another injury in the offensive line, probably sooner than later, right? Mailata's been playing through something. Hope he's fully healthy and okay. You know, Diller was hurt last year. Lane has been hurt year in, year out the last few years. What are the odds they don't need to make a switch again soon anyway?
Low.
So this probably all works itself out. But to your premise, I wouldn't be surprised or shocked if they did trade Lane after the season. If they feel what they saw out of Dillard was good enough, why not, right? Like, you have your tackles if they're healthy.
And we talk about Howie Roseman's inability to draft a lot, right? And for rightfully so. It's probably the weakest part of his resume as a general manager. But if he can point to and say, hey, Andre Dillard's really working out as a potential franchise left tackle, and I'm not saying we've reached that point yet, but we talk a lot about, especially recently, first impressions meaning a lot. Andre Dillard really struggled his rookie year, but imagine if Jason Peters stayed healthy that season, right? Andre Dillard was drafted to back up Jason Peters his rookie season and then take over in 2020, but imagine if Jason Peters stayed healthy. And even if Dillard got hurt last year, I mean, now we're coming into 2021. If he steps up and plays the way he's playing now, like, the optics don't look as bad. The optics look like, wow, Howie Roseman was right about this guy. The Eagles are smart to move ahead of Houston and take this guy as their franchise left tackle. And now if Jordan Mailata can figure out how to play right tackle as quickly or quicker than he learned how to play left tackle, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you might have something there. So I just looked at it. A trade next offseason with a post-June 1st designation, Eagles would save $7.1 million on the cap. If they trade Lane Johnson in the offseason and designated a post-June 1st, they save $7.1 million. So there's an avenue to do this.
Yeah, and obviously with the whole Carson Wentz thing, the Eagles haven't been averse to eating dead cap money.
Right, and even if they didn't want to wait to the post-June 1st, they'd be eating $12 million. I mean, they're eating 30-something on Wentz. So, like, they're not averse to doing something like this. But it's got to make sense, and it's got to continue with Dillard playing well and Mailata. But it is going to be Lane back on Sunday at right tackle, and that means Mailata back at left tackle. 215-592-9494. All right, back to the phone lines here. I do want to point this out, though, because I just saw this. This is amazing. So apparently there's someone at the Sixers game tonight with a t-shirt on, like a missing, almost like what you used to see on like the milk cartons, missing person, but it's missing, it's a picture of Ben Simmons. And it says, have you seen his jumper? And the reward is his salary this year, like $34 million. And it says, please contact FBI, CIA. This is pretty darn good. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in King of Prussia. Let's grab Chris. What's up, Chris?
Yo, what's up, Julio?
Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Good. I got a point on the Eagles, too. But you said that Dak Prescott was top five. I can't let you get away with that because he's not.
He's top five quarterback? He's playing like one right now.
No.
All right, who's playing better than him?
Tom Brady, Mahomes, Herbert, Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Sam Bradford. I mean, Matthew Stafford. It's a few. He's not top five. They got a good offense, but he's not top five.
Yeah, Herbert's not playing better than he is right now.
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. But my point on the Eagles.
I mean, before you go on, first of all, Dak's team beat Herbert's team head-to-head, so there's that. He's got a completion percentage about 8 or 9 points higher. His passer rating is 17 points higher than Justin Herbert. He's playing better than Justin Herbert right now.
Is he better than Jackson?
Is he better than who?
Lamar Jackson.
I'm a big Lamar guy. I like Lamar a lot. So I think those two are pretty close. I think Dak's playing as good as anybody in the NFL right now.
Okay. I'll let you go with that. But on the Eagles though, I do agree with you about Jalen Hurts, but I don't think he's getting a fair shot with Sirianni. Because we don't even know if Sirianni's good. We don't know if it's a couple other coaches that's not good that's rookies too, but they're doing better than Sirianni. Sorry, that's my son.
That's all right. How old's your son?
18 months.
Oh, you got a little one. I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. I remember those days. 18 months. Is he walking around?
Yeah, he's walking. I got all of them here. I got 3 of them.
Oh, yeah. Your house is probably as crazy as mine is. But what's your point on Sirianni?
I just think that Sirianni's not a good coach. You know, he's a rookie. I don't think he's a good coach. And I don't think he got a good offense for Jalen Hurts. That's it.
You know what, Chris? I hope this offense evolves. And I appreciate the phone call. And good luck with a house with 3 little kids. I have 2, and it could be crazy. As far as the offense for Jalen Hurts, I mean, I don't know if the offense is good for anybody right now. Like, they're using the RPO because I have to think they think this is the best way to get Jalen Hurts to play at a high level in the NFL. I also think it's very easy to defend when they're doing it all the time. It's just easy to defend. I mean, there were some plays last week. I think I mentioned on the show this week that I was watching a video. JT O'Sullivan, he used to play quarterback in the NFL. I'm trying to remember who he played for. I think he was a Saint. He was a backup quarterback, JT O'Sullivan, and maybe a Ram too. He does like this quarterback school video breakdown on YouTube. It's actually pretty good. And I think the name of his video this week was like "Hurts So Good" or "Hurts So Bad." Last week was bad. And he basically was trying to point out what's wrong with the Eagles offense right now from a quarterback's perspective and looking at the plays. And some of it was on Jalen, right? Some throws he missed and all sorts of issues with Hurts getting out of the pocket too quickly and all that. But some of it was solely on the coach and the design of the offense. It's like plays that are dead on arrival. There was one play in RPO where Hurts was going to throw the ball and he looked up and like there was nothing. Like 2 of the guys in the route weren't even looking up for the ball. Like they weren't even like didn't even know it was going to be a pass. And basically, he ran 1 yard and was tackled and it was a dead play. There was another play where they had 2 receivers stacked on each side, kind of that classic kind of formula where you're going to run a wide receiver screen. And the Bucs knew it. I mean, they just pulled up the corners, took away the screen because you can't throw it if the corners are up there waiting for it. They'll just pick it off or knock it down. And Hurts basically ran for a yard or two because he looked to his left, he looked to his right, and both the screens were covered. It's over. There's no play there. So, I mean, at times it feels like Sirianni's calling a play that there's no chance for it to succeed. 0. And That's got to change. Like, he's got this week's a big test. He got extra days, talk about self-scouting the whole week, and, you know, basically a mini bye to fix the issues here. The most frustrating part of the Sirianni offense is we've seen it succeed in moments. Like, they did have the Atlanta game. They did have the Chiefs game. Like, it's not like it's been horrendous the whole year. It's just maybe he's out of ideas and the league is caught up on film, but that's the weird part, that he's had some weeks where it's like, oh, this guy's open, and then some weeks where it's like, there's nothing there.
But doesn't it feel like he doesn't build on the success he has?
Yep.
Right? Like, he may have a drive or two where he go, oh, wow, that worked. That may be the identity. Because right now we talk about that, like, their identity is run-pass option. I think they've run 58, which is 10 more than anybody else in the NFL right now. Jalen Hurts actually leads the NFL in yards gained on run-pass options, just ahead of Lamar Jackson. But outside of that, like, it seems like every drive there's something new, there's something different, and every once in a while it'll work, it'll pop. Think towards the, you know, the end of the last game on Thursday night where they started to run the ball successfully, and that may have been because Tampa Bay was in pretty much a shell defense and allowing Miles Sanders those big holes. But all of a sudden that was successful, but do you see him or expect him to come out on Sunday afternoon in Las Vegas and start running the ball? I don't. It just seems like any time that there's success, he never figures out why. He just goes, oh, wow, can't believe that worked. Anyway, back to what I was originally planning 3-4 months ago. And that's the issue I have with Nick Sirianni. And it's something that I think a lot of us questioned back to when he was hired, when he was asked, hey, are you going to call plays? And he said, yes. And they said, well, why? You never have before. And he said, well, just about everything's done Monday through Saturday. Sunday doesn't actually matter when it comes to calling plays.
It does.
Guess what? You have yet to show that you're able to adjust. I'm starting to think you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, and I know the last coach we had here in Philadelphia, Doug Peterson, also hadn't called plays. I mean, I guess Andy had said that Doug was doing the plays second half of games his final year in KC. I'm not quite sure if that was true or not, but whatever. I mean, Andy really had, Doug very little experience calling plays. Maybe some, but not much. But Doug Peterson also was a former quarterback. So, like, he had the mind and the flow of play calling and setting up a defense because he was a player. That was his career. I mean, that's all he thought about as a football player was the play call and how it kind of one play rolls to the next. Sirianni doesn't have that. I mean, he doesn't have that. And it's been bad so far. And by the way, how about this? I saw this week. The Eagles have been in shotgun 92.6% of their snaps. If that holds, okay, if they keep that, it'll be the highest of any team in the past 7 years. Let's see if Tucker knows this one. I bet he will. So the Eagles have been in shotgun 92.6% of the time. If that holds, if they keep up that percentage. Highest in the last 7 years. Do you know the last team to be as high as this?
Is it the Eagles?
It's the last version we saw of Chip Kelly here in Philadelphia. The 2015 Eagles, they were at 92.4. We haven't seen this much shotgun since Chip Kelly's Eagles.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Right, think back to that offense, and that was an issue. What's odd is he really changed that first year, right? Like, they ran a lot of pro-style concepts. He had Nick Foles under center a lot. They ran a lot of RPOs. Like, think back to what that made that offense successful in 2013 and most of 2014. It was switching to more pro-style things, and then it kind of just got out of whack, and he gave up on it. But, yeah, I mean, it's something where there are other teams that are successful doing things in the NFL, and I don't see Nick Sirianni doing any of them.
And that's a worry. Ron is in Monco. Ron, we haven't talked to him. How you doing?
G.I. Joe.
What's up? How you been?
Fresh out of the hospital.
Oh, what was going on there? You okay?
Well, we had to get another bionic hip.
So you have two now? Two bionic hips?
Yep. And now I got a pair of them.
All right. Well, now are those good to go for a while now? You good now?
Well, they should outlive me. Hopefully, you know what I mean?
Well, you can't leave them behind when you're done here. You got to take them with you, Ron.
So I'm trying to re-resurrect my tap dancing career. You know what I mean?
Well, you let me know when the first show is. I'll buy a ticket, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So what's on your mind? What are you thinking?
Well, you know what? Here's where I'm at. And I'm calling you because, you know, I respect your opinion. And I need some feedback because I'm shopping a new football team.
Oh no!
And I've got some choices.
Okay.
And you know, if you were looking for a new football team to call, you know, just off the top of your head, I mean, you know, who would you go with to just finish it up with a new team?
Yeah, all right. I mean, you got Kansas City with Reed and Mahomes. That's pretty good. All right. What about Baltimore? They're always Lamar Jackson's fun. pretty good.
Okay. What else?
Arizona, Kyler Murray. You go to the Rams with McVay and Stafford. That seems like a pretty good setup they got out there. You got some good choices.
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of good choices. Yeah. The NFL's in the future, as far as the football goes, the play is actually looking pretty bright, except for a place called Philadelphia. You know, but you know what I'm thinking about? I'm telling you, if Roethlisberger was getting out of here, that would be an easy choice for me. But they waited, and you know what I'm leaning on? New England.
You're gonna become a New England fan?
I believe I am. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Why I chose them. I chose them because this is brand new. This is a brand new team. It's a brand new quarterback. Of course, you got the same coach, but everything is new. So I'm jumping in on the ground floor. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I would never go with Kansas City. I mean, that's a front-runner pick. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, I'll give you another one, Ron. And New England's a good one. But you could go with the Chargers. That quarterback's young. He's
thinking,
pretty good.
I was thinking about that. But, you know, I can't go with those Tinseltown people. You know what I mean?
So you got to stay in the Northeast. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, come on, Ron. You're throwing in the towel on your Eagles fandom. You're out.
Listen, Joe, I'm going to drop the bomb. If you want to take this guy, do it. I'm telling you, in my gut, I'm telling you, this rebuild is going to fail. I mean, this is going to fail. As long as Howie and the coach do what they've been doing for the last 4 years, this thing is just going to repeat itself. And I can't do it again. I cannot go through this again, what we just went through for the last 3-4 years. I just can't do it, you know? I'm not like you. You know, I don't have all kinds of time. You know what I mean, Joe?
I mean, I'm getting old too over here, Ron. Listen,
Joe, do you actually think that the Eagles can overcome Howie and Jeffrey?
Well, I mean, they've won with these guys. It's not like.
No.
But they've won. It's not like Middleton, where we've never seen them win with this guy, and it's very easy to say.
That's another phone call.
Well, yeah, of course. But I have real doubts the Phillies will ever win with John Middleton. I've seen the Eagles win with Lurie and at Roseman.
Yeah. Well, it's just that you've got to accept the fact, Joe, that the 2017 Birds were nothing more than the 1993 Phillies.
But they won. They won it, Ron.
They won. Okay, but they did win. They did win. But look what they did to the team after they lost.
And I get that, Ron. I do. And Ron, I'm glad you're feeling better. We'll talk soon. But, like, the 94 and 95 Phillies stunk. Right? Like, it's not the same thing. This Eagles team's obviously gone backwards from the Super Bowl, but it's not the same as the Phillies. Like, the Eagles went to the second round of the playoffs the next year after the Super Bowl. Like, then we just pretend they've been in a rebuild since they lost the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl. That's not the case. I mean, it took the Phillies 14 years to make the playoffs again after the World Series trip in 93. It's not the same. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop. We'll come back. All your phone calls. We'll talk some NFL, Eagles, Raiders. My buddy Cody Decker talks baseball for Odyssey, but he also is a big Raiders fan. But I think he hates the Raiders. So we'll get his thoughts on who's going to win this game coming up and all your phone calls. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And NFL Week 7 continues on a FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more. And if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. Look, there's a lot of great games this weekend, but how about the one we're going to be watching? Philadelphia at Las Vegas. I like Jalen Hurts on an anytime touchdown score. I like the game to go over the total, and I do think the Eagles will put up a cup of points over their team total that's projected. Look, FanDuel's the best. Fast payouts, easy to use, safe and secure. It is America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code Gilio to also receive 30-1 enhanced odds on the Sunday afternoon matchup between Houston and Arizona. Win $150 on a $5 bet. That's promo code Gilio so they know I sent you exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.